Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins and Padres tonight at Target Field. Great night here at the fair. Great late afternoon. And we're on Carnes Avenue, just down the hill from Ye Olde Mill, next to Sweet Martha's. And over the years, you know, we're kind of Sweet Martha's auxiliary dining room. When people wait in line, they come over and have some cookies, and that's all good. So good to see everybody. And a big thanks to everyone helping out at the fair. Lindsey Brown on site at the fair, and she's been out here a ton, and Jonathan Lowe in the studio downtown. And then next week we kind of get into the swing of things of college football final as things get started in earnest around the area. We'll have game reports and scores and all of that sort of thing. And I've lost count how many years it is, but it's a lot of years. We've been doing the show, and Jonathan Lowe is a part of it, and Lindsey Brown's a part of it as well. And we look forward to getting that in gear next week. Right now we want to talk Twins, and Bobby Nightingale joins us. He covers the team for the Star Tribune. Bobby, good to visit with you, and thanks as always for the time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Bobby, gorgeous weather, and the Twins swinging the bats lately.
Yeah, I mean, they've not only swinging the bats, running the bases pretty well, stealing a lot. Three straight games with at least seven runs, but none of, you know, the homers are starting to come around a little bit. They're running hard. Just looks like a different offense. I mean, just obviously scoring runs will do that, but you know, just a different level of quality from the at-bats too. We're drawing a ton of walks, not striking out a lot, and you know, they're playing good teams. Toronto coming off the Toronto series, San Diego now facing good pitching, and you know, they're hanging in there offensively at least.
Yeah, and, you know, Bobby, there's a lot of disappointment around this club. It goes without saying. Coming out of the break, they had an opportunity. They didn't take advantage. And then ultimately, Derek Falvey decided to make a ton of deals on deadline day. And I think a lot of people were staggered by that. But nevertheless, when you look at the players that are there, it is an opportunity for them to prove that they belong in the big leagues. And you know, what this club's going to look like next year. And even after the trade, and I talked to your colleague Phil Miller about it, you know, they have, going into 2026, a very solid starting rotation. Coming into 25, that figured to be a strength. The bullpen was. They made a lot of deals and sent a lot of people out of that bullpen to other clubs. But the starting rotation going forward next year still looks like a strength of the team.
Yeah, at least as of right now. I mean, I wouldn't rule out future trades in the offseason, just knowing kind of how much payroll they saved from the trade deadline and whether that could, you know, they keep shaving that down. But, you know, they're in a spot where it's not like they're starting from scratch. I mean, you look at rotation with Pablo Lopez, Joe Ryan, and Pablo Lopez will be back in the big leagues hopefully next week. And, you know, if some of the young guys can take steps forward, Zebby Matthews, David Festa, Josh Bradley starting today, Mick Abel, another one. You know, you don't need a ton of guys to dream on. I mean, you just need a few guys to take a step forward, and then your rotation's not too bad. Obviously, you're going to have to rebuild the bullpen after the trade deadline. And, you know, the offense, I mean, this is they didn't trade many guys who were part of the offensive core. Traded a lot of guys that are going to be free agents at the end of the season. But this is, a chance to, you know, with the prospects that are in AAA, this is a chance to kind of prove that they deserve a spot in the big leagues. And you know, the position player side, I mean, that's going to determine how fast or slow this rebuild is going to be after the trade-off. You know, if some of these offensive players can develop a little bit quicker, you know, you look at 2026, 2027 as, you know, semi-competitive, maybe wild card, something like that. You know, if they continue to struggle offensively, then you're looking at something way deeper and, you know, a lot more painful of a rebuild.
Yeah, and beyond that, there's so many clouds gathering on the horizon about potential work stoppage anyway, that at the moment it appears the players and the owners are very far apart. And then there's a group of owners, haves, and the have-nots that need to come together on a plan going forward. So, you know, that labor strife is looming over the major leagues, there's no doubt.
Yeah, and you'll probably see a lot of coverage for it this offseason and into next year. I think what's different about this one, I mean, usually it's always been players versus owners, you know, fighting to determine how much of the money to split. But now you kind of have an owner versus owner, you know, big market owners versus small market owners, ones who want the salary cap and ones who are okay with the current system. You know, that's going to have to play out before you even get to the players. And, you know, players have always been against the salary cap. And so, yeah, I mean, you're looking at probably a lockout. I mean, Ron Banford's the commissioner's talked pretty openly about not afraid to do a lockout after next season. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise anyone for sure if that happens. And then the big question becomes, will they start missing games over a potential salary cap and how long that happens? So, yeah, I mean, long term, definitely it's frustrating just, you know, knowing the sport attendance is up across the league and the TV ratings are a little bit higher. And it's like you built all this momentum going to the pitch clock and everything else. And then finally, you know, a labor strife could shut it down.
Yeah, but there are no doubt revenue challenges for a lot of the clubs. And, you know, we'll use the old example. In the NFL, all these clubs share that huge pot of television money equally. That is not the case in the major leagues. And that's an owner versus owner issue. That has nothing to do with the players. You look at the money generated by the Yankees or the Dodgers, and you could make the argument that the Yankees and Dodgers need the other clubs to play. The Yankees and Dodgers just can't play against each other. They need opponents. And I think that television revenue model is broken in the major leagues. And until the owners get together and figure out how to split that money more equally, I don't know what the way forward is.
Yeah, I'd say that's fair, and my counter would be I do think there's a difference between some of the way these teams are run. I mean, the Dodgers, they have the huge payroll, they have their star players, but you know they got guys like Michael Kopech from the White Sox and Tommy Edman from the Cardinals that any team could have got, and they developed them into good players last year and on their way to a World Series, and you know they have one of the best farm systems, and that's not just due to a high payroll. You know they do a great job with their player development. You know, and then you look at teams like the Pittsburgh Pirates who don't spend money, major leagues or minor leagues, it seems like. And, you know, they're so far behind. They have one playoff win in, I think, 30 or 40 years. And, it's you know, even with the even salary cap at the major league level, I don't know, you know, that it changes. Like, you look at the NFL, the Cleveland Browns have been so bad for so long. And I'm sure there's NBA teams that you could cite that have been bad for 20 years. So I don't think it's an automatic fix that competitive balance that way. But the one stat I think always sticks out is there's only been one World Series winner in this century that had a payroll below the league average. So you have to have above league average payroll to win a World Series. And that's something that baseball's got to figure out.
Well, great example you brought up, the Pirates. Paul Skeens is there. And I don't think anybody believes that he's going to be around the minute he can move on.
Yeah, and that's something tough for baseball. I mean, there are some stars that have stayed. Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City signed a big deal. Milwaukee gave a big one to their center fielder, Jackson Chourio. Even Tampa Bay Rays, Wander Franco ended up getting suspended and out of baseball now, but they gave him a $200 million, or $100 million contract. So I don't think you can automatically assume they're all going to leave. But, yeah, I mean, once you get closer to free agency and you're at the Paul Skeens level, it's almost like, okay, when he's a free agent, the only teams interested are going to be the Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox. That's the issue, is once they hit free agency, you know it's going to be a handful of teams that are the only ones that can afford them.
Back home to talk about the Twins a little bit, and Byron Buxton in your piece joined the 2020 club and with a steal of third base as the Twins beat the Padres on Friday night. Byron Buxton's had a whale of a year, and if you would have told me during spring training that Byron Buxton would have a season like this and be relatively healthy. I know he's had some stints on the injured list, the concussion earlier, and then the recent stint on the injured list. But beyond that, Byron Buxton's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the most unfortunate part of it, being such a lost season,
yep.
Just how well he's played this year. He, you know, at this rate, he might get down-ballot MVP votes. 10 players are on MVP ballots, and I could see him being one of them. Yeah, just an incredible kind of story for him. First 2020 season of his career, first time he stole third base in his career yesterday. It's impressive that he's still doing first. And also impressive that not only is he healthy, but just performing the way he has. I mean, playing as well as he has in his entire career. And that's not an easy thing to do. I mean, he's older than 30 and still the fastest guy in the league, still showing off the power that he has. You know, there's not five full talents like him everywhere. So, you know, fun to finally see it come to fruition in a healthy year.
Yeah, Bobby, do you get a sense ever since the trade deadline what he would be thinking? And I doubt he would tip his hand. He has a strict no-trade clause. He's said all the right things about wanting to stay with the Twins. He has a team-friendly contract. He certainly has marquee value. I would hope Byron Buxton's future is here in Minnesota.
Yeah, that's what he wants, and publicly and privately, he's always maintained that's the same thing. I do think it had an impact. He played with Joe Mauer at the end of Joe Mauer's career, and seen you know, the way Joe Mauer was treated. You know, the one franchise. I do think that sticks with him in his mind. And you know, when he got the long term deal, that was his intention. He wanted to be a Twin for life. And right now, it's under his control. I mean, he could control that. And there were teams that asked about him at the trade deadline, several of them that said, "Hey, if you want to waive your no trade clause with everyone else getting traded away, let us know." And you know, he declined and said, "You know, I still want to be a part of this," and traveled with the team on the road trip when he was hurt. So I think he's committed as could be, privately and publicly, you know, to be Twin long term.
Yeah, and certainly good news for Twins fans to hear that. Key guy that came the Twins way at the trade deadline, Taj Bradley, will get the start against the Padres tonight, and he's one of these guys for Derek Falvey and the Twins. He needs to pan out. And once again, big guy, young guy, still trying to figure it out a little bit, but this will be very important for him to hit and stick and be an effective starter.
Yeah, and he's done it before. I mean, he's shown flashes of it in Tampa Bay, where he's had 2 or 3 month stretches where he's one of the best pitchers in the league, and you know, ERA below 1 for 3 months, and so it's in there. I mean, it's kind of like Joe Ryan was in the past, where he can put up a high strikeout rate, and it's just a matter of consistency. And, you know, the Twins have shown they can do that with some guys. Pablo Lopez became more consistent when he was here. So that's kind of what they're betting on, is that they can kind of eke that out of him. I think it's important to remember how young he is. I mean, he's younger than Zebby Matthews and David Festa. He's been in the big leagues for 3 seasons, but he's still one of the youngest guys on this team. And I think that's what got the Twins excited when he was available for Griffin Jackson. That trade was just knowing, you know, a young starting pitcher that doesn't come around very often, you know, one tweak here or there, if you can get the most out of him, I mean, that's a number two, number three starter for you long term.
Twins and Padres tonight, lineup card minutes away at 5:30, first pitch after 6 o'clock. And the Padres, they've got to feel comfortable here in Minneapolis tonight. This is San Diego weather, man. This is really good. I mean, some of the best weather anywhere in the United States is in San Diego most of the year, but it was pretty good Friday night, and it's really good again tonight.
Yeah, can't beat it. I mean, here at the State Fair, I mean, you can't ask for better weather, no matter where you're at, if you're outside.
Yeah, well, Bobby, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks, Steve.
There he is, Bobby Nightingale, covers the Twins for the Star Tribune, joining us in the writer's corner. We'll get an update on the state amateur tournament. I did get Jonathan the right number this time. We'll get an update on the state amateur tournament, and then at 5:30, the lineup card, Twins and Padres from Target Field, here on the home of the Twins, News Talk, 830-WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Twins lineup card at 5:30, Twins and Padres. Taj Bradley on the mound for the home nine tonight. State Amateur Baseball Tournament winding down. Third weekend of that tournament. And the three towns hosting this weekend include Hutchinson, Gaylord, and Brownton. Glencoe was involved earlier in the tournament. And a guy who covers amateur baseball like nobody else, Kip Kovar for the Herald Journal out in Wright County. And Kip, once again, tip of the cap. Great work all summer.
I appreciate it. I always joke that kind of the regular season is the work, and then come this time of the year for the playoffs, this is kind of the fun time for me and the reward of working all summer. So it's a blast to be back here and Hutch again all day and some more good, great games going on.
Yeah, no doubt. And it winds down two title games tomorrow, one on Monday. The B is on Monday out in the Hutch. And let's talk about that bracket a little bit, because it looks like at the moment Delano is the team to beat. They had a big win earlier today over Hutch out there, 11-0-7.
Yeah, Delano is one of the teams I cover all season long, and they've been a team over the years that could just knock the cover off the ball, but really haven't done that much this year, but so's the right time to do it. Hit three home runs today to beat Hutch, the hometown host, 11-0, 7-8. They're playing some really good ball at the right time, but if you would have asked me coming into this week, you know, the eight teams left, who's going to win, and tell me any one of those teams is going to win on Monday, I could make a case for all eight of them. So it's going to be it's one game at a time for everybody, and it's who kind of put nine innings together, and sometimes maybe even more than nine innings.
Yeah, and, you know, Kip, they say every year when they hand out the trophies, it's such a hard tournament to win, and it is, because you can line up your pitching weekend one and weekend two and have your A's go and get plenty of rest, but you get to the final weekend and trying to win a title, you're going to need to go pretty deep, and you're going to need depth to ultimately win a title.
Yeah, and honestly, you just need some things to bounce your way the right way, too. It is kind of about half being good, half being luck. I mean, I kind of look at a team like the Howard Lake Orphans, who are going to play here in a little bit. Hutch, they've scored seven runs this tournament, their first two games. All seven have been two outs. If one of those plays goes a little bit different, they might not win one game, let alone both those games. So you got to be good, obviously, and have the talent in pitching and hitting, but it also takes a little bit of a luck for that. Ground ball just goes a foot away from that shortstop's glove, or get a few cheap ones on a wild pitch here and there, and that's kind of why we love this time of year.
Yeah, and Kip, the tournament changed a year ago. It was Class B, Class C. They brought back Class A, moved the bigger teams from the cities into that, the likes of Meesville and the Champlain Park Logators and Chaska Cubs. By the way, Logators and Cubs underway now in Gaylord. Meesville advanced to the title game tomorrow at noon in Gaylord with a win over the Minneapolis Warriors. And then they kind of split up B and C this year. What about the format? What has the reaction to it been?
I think it's been pretty good. I think you're seeing a little bit of what the state board exactly wanted to. We had a couple teams in C that have never made it, and then a bunch of teams that kind of fall into the group that haven't really had that state tournament success in the last 10 years. And that's kind of what your C group is like. And then B, you kind of got maybe those perennial teams you've seen in C kind of beating up on each other. And you saw a team like Jordan, who's been ranked number one all year. They lost their first game, and they're out already. You saw a team like St. Stephen, who won two games during the regular season, ended up going on and winning their region and getting a bye and playing well, but falling short in their first game. So it's kind of a little bit of a mix. I know some people still have mixed feelings about it, myself included, but I think the baseball games have delivered and been pretty good attendance so far, so all tournament long, and curious to kind of see as we get here in the home stretch how it's all going to play out.
All right. Well, Kip, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much for your coverage. And once again, the Class A and Class C title games tomorrow, the Class B Monday in Hutch at 1 o'clock, and I'll be out there for that one. Really looking forward to being out there on a Labor Day, and great job to all the towns on the tournament. Kip Kovar, Herald Journal, serving much of Wright County and does a great job covering state amateur baseball. And, of course, the website MinnesotaBaseballAssociation.org. Big thanks to Lindsey Brown here at the fair. Big thanks to Jonathan Lowe in the studio. I'm Steve Thompson. We have the Twins. We have the Padres coming up next. The lineup card at 5:30. Corzo here tomorrow between 10 and noon. The State Fair on CCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.